turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. We continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Now, this is a powerful letter. It gives us great truth, things we need to know and apply in our lives. Now, for what we've been seeing for the past several weeks, we're looking at chapter 6. We're seeing one of the greatest passages. In fact, listen to this. I think it's the greatest passage in the New Testament on how we can have victory in the Christian life. We see truths that will change our lives, the keys to give us the victory as we make a difference for Christ. Three words stand out. You remember the three words? We've seen them now for about the last 3 to 4 weeks. For some of you, maybe last week was the first time back, and maybe this week is the first time back. But we've been looking at three words in this whole passage of Romans chapter 6. It is to know, to consider, and to present. To know that we died and rose again in Christ to a new life, to consider ourselves dead to sin but alive in Christ, and to present our bodies to God. It's powerful. As we continue this morning, we're going to see some practical application dealing with how we can have victory. We're to present ourselves to God, not to our flesh. And we'll talk about it as we go through it. There's so much in this passage. We're only going to look at verses 15 through 19. That's all as we're going through the passage. And the goal is to make application and be changed. That's the plan. There's an old saying that everybody's got to serve somebody. It's true. Well, in America, we think like this. We say, listen, I'm an American. I'm free. I don't have to serve anybody. I do whatever I want. But the truth is, we all serve somebody. Think about our lives. As believers, we are alive in Christ. We're children of God. We are either serving God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, or we're serving ourselves. We're either serving our flesh, which is that pull to do wrong, that natural part of us. We'll talk more about it in just a minute. We're either serving our flesh, or we're serving God who lives inside of us. Romans chapter 6, Paul presents these truths very plain and very simple. He says, either we yield to our flesh, the result of sin and death, or we yield to God in us, and the result is sanctification and life. The question is, who are you going to serve? Is it going to be yourself, or is it going to be God? Let's think about these truths as we seek to make application from our passages this morning. We want to be changed. We want to be different people. God's Word is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It always accomplishes its purpose, never comes back void. So as we go to the Word of God, the goal and the plan is to let God's Word change us. This morning we continue, we're seeing powerful passages presenting truth, and may these truths help us to have victory. Now, as we begin, let's get a brief review. We've been doing that. The book of Romans is so powerful. We started the book of Romans last year, before school was out. And I consider Romans the foundational book of the New Testament. I think if some people say, if you could only have one book in the Bible, what would it be? I tell you, if you could only have one, I would go with Romans, because there's so much there. Remember what we've seen so far. Chapters 1, 2, and part of 3 of the book of Romans, we've seen the problem that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, that we need a Savior. Chapters 3 and 4 shows us the solution to the problem. God so loved the world, He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Jesus died and rose again. Whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. We are declared righteous and made righteous simply by faith. Chapter 5 is the result of salvation. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, access to God, and the hope of God. Also in chapter 5, it talked about our identification. We're either in Adam or in Christ. As we move to chapter 6 is where we are now. Chapter 6 and 7 go together. They deal with the Christian life. Chapter 6 is victory in the Christian life. Chapter 7 is conflict in the Christian life. We started chapter 6 several weeks ago, and what we did is we named some terms, we gave an outline of the whole study, we did an overview of the whole passage, and then we started going verse by verse, passage by passage. Now what I want to do this morning, as I did last week, and even the week before that, I want to give a brief review of Romans chapter 6 so you can see the whole chapter. Let me tell you this. If you weren't here last week, I'm going to say this again. If you will get the truth from Romans chapter 6, you will never be the same. Your life will never be the same because you will learn how to have victory in the Christian life so that you won't go through life sinning and confessing and sinning and confessing, but you begin to have victory so you can walk worthy of the calling which you've been called. Then let me give it to you. Here's simply put, here's Romans chapter 6. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're identified and placed in union with Christ. And you died and were buried and rose again to a new life with Christ. As Jesus died on the cross, you died on the cross. As He was buried, you were buried. As He rose again, you rose again with Him to a new life. You have been set free from sin. And the sin we're talking about is that pull, that nature inside you, the flesh. It goes on to say that we need to begin to change our thinking and to consider ourselves dead to sin, but alive in Jesus Christ. We do not have to serve our flesh anymore. And then that takes us to the last part of the chapter, and that is that we stop presenting our bodies to our flesh to sin, but present ourselves to God for righteousness. That's the key to this book. Those three words: know, consider, present. Know that you died and rose again with Christ to a new life. You're a new person. Consider yourself dead to sin but alive in Christ. You don't have to serve your flesh. And present yourself not to the flesh but to God so you can have victory. That's the key. If you can put that in your mind, and as the weeks go by, as you continue to study the book of Romans, you can begin to have victory. You will never be the same. There are truths that flow out of this passage that will give us the victory. Now, in the last several weeks, we started going verse by verse. In fact, 2 weeks ago, we looked at chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Last week, we looked at 8 through 14. This morning, we're going to look at verses 15 through 19. I actually thought that maybe I could go 15 through 23, but as I really started to dig in and get in close as much as I could get, there's just too much there to try to cover in one Sunday. So we're going to look at verses 15 through 19 this morning. Next week, we'll look at 20 and maybe even actually get into chapter 7. It's a small section, but the truths are powerful because this is the application part of the chapter. Paul gives us details about presenting ourselves and making application, presenting ourselves not to our flesh, but to God. This is the key to victory. Then let me ask you a question. Who decides how you live? You do. We do. Who decides who you present yourself to? To your flesh for sin? Or to God for victory? You do. Whoever we present ourselves to, that's who we will serve. If we present ourselves to the flesh, to our old man, to sin, there's defeat. If we present ourselves to God who lives inside of us, there's righteousness and victory. Now let's begin. And as we begin, I want to remind you of a truth. You already know it, but I want to remind you of something. Before salvation, before you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, I hope and pray every one of you have trusted in Christ. We'll talk more about it a little bit later. But before a person put their faith in Christ, we were what's called dead in trespasses and sins. We were separated from God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3 says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We walked according to the world, walked according to the flesh, we walked according to the devil. We were dead, spiritually dead. There was a part of us that the Bible calls the flesh, which is a natural bent to sin. We do not have to teach people to sin. We have to teach people to do right. We naturally do wrong. Every human being coming into this world naturally does wrong. That's how we were before we trusted Christ. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible says we're born again and we're new people. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, new things are come. We're alive in Christ. We have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. We're different people. But remember, that flesh, that part of you, that bent to pull to do wrong is still there. And as you go through your life, you have a battle going on. There's a part of you that wants to sin and wants to sin all the time. It's called the flesh. There's a part of you that's been born again in Christ and you have the Holy Spirit and you want to live righteously. That's why in Galatians 5:17 it says the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh, they're contrary one to another, so that you may not do the things you want to do. There is a battle going on inside of every one of us who know Christ. There's sometimes people come up to me and they'll say, JB, you know, I trusted Christ, but if I was really a Christian, would I still have these thoughts and would I still want to do these bad things? The answer is yes, because you still have the flesh. You still have that natural bent to sin. As long as you are in this body, you're going to have that pull. Now, how in the world are we going to have victory? Because every day, Paul writes over in Romans chapter 7, he says, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. How are we going to have victory? Romans chapter 6 shows us how we can have victory so we don't have to go through life always being pulled by our flesh and losing that battle. Who are you going to serve? Flesh or God? We're told as believers we're to walk worthy of the calling which we've been called. Romans chapter 6 says to know, to present, excuse me, know, to consider, to present. Know that you died and rose again. You're a new person. Consider yourself dead to that flesh and alive in Christ. And present yourself not to your flesh, which is pulling on you all the time. Present yourself to God so you can have victory. We've come to the practical aspect of having victory. See, it's one thing to say, I know, I've read chapter 6. I know it. I got it. I got this stuff down. I know what it says. I'm even trying to think right. It comes to the point where you're going to have to make some decisions, and that is who you're going to serve. Who are you going to live for? Are you going to live for your flesh that pulls you, or are you going to live for God? Whoever you yield to, you serve. If you yield to the flesh, we serve the flesh. That's sin. If we yield to God, we serve God, and that's righteousness. Last time we saw the charge, look at verse 13. Romans chapter 6, verse 13, he says, "Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." And he said it very simply. He said, look, don't keep on presenting, yielding your body to sin. And we do that. Whenever the flesh says, do this, we say, okay, and we yield to that. He says, don't do that. Don't go on presenting the members of your body to sin as unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who are alive from the dead, because you are. You died and rose again, new life. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Powerful truth. We don't have to live in the power of the flesh. No, we do, but we don't have to. And the bottom line we're going to see as we look at verses 15 through 19, the bottom line is whoever you yield yourself to, that's who you're going to serve. Whoever you yield yourself to, that's who you're going to serve. Notice how he starts the section. This is the second question in the whole chapter. The first question is in verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? That's the first question. Shall we keep sinning because God's grace will keep covering it? Answer, of course, is no. Then in verse 15, he raises another question. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? Shall we sin because we're not under a law system, we're under a grace system? And God deals with us in grace. And we're not under some kind of rule system, but God is a God of grace and he always deals with us. So shall we sin simply because God is such a gracious God? Look at the answer. In the verse 15, may it never be. That's the strongest way you can say no. It'd be like saying, no, no way, no how, do not know. And look what he goes on to say. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? Now he raises a great question or a point. He says, don't you know? And of course they thought they knew. They should know. And we as believers should know this. And when he writes to the church at Rome, he says, don't you guys know this? And the same thing for us. Don't we know that whoever, notice what he says, whoever you present yourself to as a slave for obedience, you are slaves of the one to whom you obey. Whoever you present yourself to, that's who you're going to serve. Now, if you present yourself to the flesh, who are you going to serve? The flesh. If you present yourself to God, who are you going to serve? God. So he says, don't you know that whoever you present yourself to, that's who you're going to serve? Now think about it. You go look for a job and there's this person, he's going to be the boss, and this guy says, here's the job, you work for me, you do this. Do you want this job? If you say yes, you're presenting yourself to that person, who are you going to obey? That person. And if that person said, I want you to do this, you don't say, I'm not going to do that, I don't have to work for you. Wait a minute, I'm your boss. You presented yourself under my authority. If you present yourself to the flesh, guess what? You're going to serve the flesh. If you present yourself to God, guess what? You're going to serve God. So he brings us to this point. He says, don't you know that whenever you present yourself to someone as a slave for obedience, you're slaves to the one you obey. You're slaves to whoever you present yourself to. And then he gives us two options. Now realize that we as believers, whoever we yield our bodies to, that's who we serve. And we have two options. Notice the passage. Either, the last part of verse 16, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. Now the truth is, we can either present ourselves to the sin. Now when I say sin, if you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, sin is that part of you that does wrong, the flesh. We're not talking about personal sins here. We're talking about the sin in you, the flesh. If you present yourself to the flesh, he says, it results in death. Or if you present yourself of obedience, which means obedience to God's word, it results in righteousness. Now think about this. You can either yield to the flesh, which is sin and death, or you can yield to God and obedience to his word, and the result is righteousness. That's how you can live. You have the choice. Now there's something that when we read verses, sometimes we go fast and you may have missed a tremendous thing. Notice what it says at the end of verse 16. It says, either of sin resulting in death. Now when you sin, you die. The wages of sin is, what is it? Wages of sin is death. Anytime you sin, whether you're a believer or not a believer, the wages of sin is death. And a lot of times when you see death, you always think, well, what kind of death? Am I going to die? You know, I'm talking about my body dying? No. In the Bible, the word death always means separation. And there are a number of kinds of death in the Bible. Let me give them to you. First of all, there's physical death. Physical death is the separation of the body from the soul and spirit. When a person dies physically, their body goes in the ground, their soul and spirit go somewhere else. That's a separation. That's called physical death. There's a death in the Bible called spiritual death. That means separation from God. When people come into this world, every person being born in this world comes in this world spiritually dead. We're separated from God. We're dead in trespasses and sins. That Ephesians passage that I quoted a while ago. Every human being that comes in this world is separated from God spiritually. That's spiritual death. Then there's a third kind of death, and it's called eternal death. Eternal death is eternal separation from God. If a person comes into this world and never trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, they will be eternally separated from God forever. There's physical death, spiritual death, eternal death. There's one more death that's mentioned in the Scripture, and it's mentioned here in this passage. We call it temporal death. When you as a believer sin, I'm talking about as a Christian, you die temporally. You are separated from your Father. Now, you're separated from Him in fellowship. It's a temporal aspect. The Bible talks about that when you believe in Christ as Savior, you have eternal life. But in your relationship and your fellowship, there can be a breaking of your fellowship. Now, let me tell you what he says. He says, if you yield yourself to the flesh, sin results in death. You die. Now, I want you to understand a great truth. When you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you have an eternal relationship. Now, there's two words I want you to think about, relationship and fellowship. When you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have an eternal relationship with Him. You become a child of God. You're born again. You can never be separated from God in your relationship. Never. But you also have fellowship with Him. And when you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and you have sin in your life, you break fellowship and you can lose your fellowship. You can never lose your relationship. You can lose your fellowship. This is what he's talking about here. When you sin as a believer, when you yield to the flesh, you die temporally in your fellowship with God. Now, the Bible says, when you sin, what do? You confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. You're back into fellowship. So when he talks about death here, that's something we don't always realize, but you can die as a Christian in a temporal way in your fellowship with God. You'll never lose your relationship with God, but you can lose your fellowship. Now look what he says. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, your slaves are the one you obey? It's either sin, which results in death, temporal death, or obedience, which results in righteousness. In righteousness. That's what comes out of our lives. We yield to the flesh, there's sin. We yield to God, there's righteousness. You're going to serve somebody. It's either self or God. Now remember the truth. Know that you died and rose again with Christ to a new life. Consider yourself dead to sin, but alive in Christ. Present your body not to the flesh, but to the Holy Spirit, to God who's inside you. And he gives a little background. Look at verse 17. Thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. He says, I want to thank God. He says, thanks be to God. I'm thankful to God that though you were slaves to sin. Now, here's the truth. Every one of us in this room, before you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you were a slave to sin. You were a slave to the flesh. That's all you had. Your flesh told you what to do. You obeyed. That's all you had. He says, now, thanks be to God that when you were a slave to sin, notice he says this, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. He says you obeyed God's message to you, His teaching to you. You know what the message was? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. I hope that every one of you in this room at some time in your life, you understood God's command and message to you as an unbeliever was to believe, was to put your faith in Christ. And so he says, in the past you were slaves to sin, but now because you were obedient, because you put your faith in Christ, notice what verse 18 says. Pretty powerful. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. You are freed from the flesh. A couple of weeks ago, and I think even last week, I gave the illustration that I used to work at Mississippi State and then I resigned. And if Coach Tyler, who was my boss at Mississippi State, would have called me and said, come out to the football field, I could have gone. But I didn't have to because I didn't work for him anymore. You have been freed from your flesh. You don't work for the flesh. And when the flesh pulls you and says, look over here, do this, lie, do this, pull to do wrong, you know what you can say? I'm free from you. I don't work for you anymore. I don't have to listen to you. Verse 6 says we are no longer slaves to sin. Verse 7 says we are freed from sin. And of course, verse 18 says we have been freed from sin. Instead of having to serve the flesh, look what it says. You have become slaves of righteousness. Now, I want you to understand something you may have never realized. You are a servant. Every human being in this world is a servant. As one who belongs to Jesus Christ, you are a servant. You're either going to be serving yourself in your flesh, or you're going to be serving God in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why he says, now that you've been freed from sin, you can become a slave of righteousness. You belong to Jesus Christ. You're to serve him. Now, you got a choice. You can either serve your flesh, or you can serve God. Every day of your life, you make those choices. You choose whether you're going to be a victorious Christian, living in the power of the Holy Spirit, living for Jesus Christ, or a defeated Christian, living in the flesh, living for yourself. You decide it, and you decide it daily. Having been freed from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. Remember, you're going to serve somebody. It's either yourself or God. One of these days, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ. You want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, because you're a servant. You're either going to serve flesh or you're going to serve him. Now, the last verse is the one that's powerful because he gets very practical. Look what he says. He says, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. He says, let me get practical. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of the flesh. He says, I'm trying to get practical where you can understand me. That's what he's saying to these people. We can say the same thing to us. Okay, he's trying to get it down where we can understand what he's saying. And here's what he says. Just as you, in the past, just as you have presented your members, the parts of your body, as slaves, servants, to impurity and lawlessness, which result in further lawlessness, he says, just as you used to present your body to sin, and it resulted in sin, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness. Present yourself to God, resulting in sanctification. Now, I want you to understand something. You have a choice every day. In fact, you have a choice all the time because you're going to be pulled. See, when we come together here, it's so fun. We're all together. We sing songs and the music's great. And we're having a great time. And we see our friends and we get to look at the Bible and there's great truths and we feel spiritual and everything. And then we go out these doors. We go out into a fallen world, a world that affects our flesh, a world that pulls us, and then inside of us is that part of us that says, look over there, do this, do this. And we're going to be pulled. Every moment of the day, you're going to be pulled, and you're going to have to decide. Are you going to choose to live for Jesus Christ and make a difference and live in the power of the Holy Spirit and present your body to God for His glory? Or are you going to choose to live in the flesh, living for yourself, and producing sin? That's your choice. You don't have to live in the flesh. We've been seeing in Romans chapter 6, we have victory over that. Look what he said. I'm speaking in human terms because the weakness of your flesh, just as you presented, just as you yielded, your parts of your body, is what he literally says, your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, that's sin, of course, and it resulted in further sin. So now. So now, present your members, present the parts of your body, slaves to righteousness, do what the right thing is. It results in sanctification. Now, sanctification means to be set apart. Sanctification is a process. You trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you become a child of God. But the Bible says that when you trust Christ, it's like you're like a baby, a brand new baby. And then you're to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Sanctification is you growing as a believer. You want to grow as a believer, you say to God, I want my life to count for you. God's plan, Romans 8:29, is that you would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's His plan. His plan is that me and you become more and more like Jesus every day. Only way you can do that is not present yourself to the flesh, that's sin. Present yourself to God in you, that's righteousness and sanctification. We choose to walk in the Spirit. We choose to walk in the flesh, either one. Whoever you yield yourself to, that's who you serve. Next time, I'll finish this chapter. He gives the final points, and then we'll get into chapter 7. What have we seen? By faith in Jesus Christ, we died and rose again to a new life. We know we are set free from sin. We're to consider ourselves dead to sin, but alive in Christ. We don't have to obey the flesh. Whoever we yield to, that's who we serve. We yield to the flesh, we serve the flesh. We yield to God, we serve God. There is a change that we've been set free from sin. We don't have to serve. So the charge is, do not yield yourself to the flesh, but yield yourself to God so you can be like Christ. Now let me give you some applications. The first one is know and consider who we are. Now, this is the passage. Know who we are. Know that we died and rose again with Christ to a new life. Consider the fact that we're dead to sin, alive in Christ. You do not have to serve the flesh. When the flesh pulls you every day, when it pulls you, you don't have to listen. You can say, I don't work for you anymore. We are new people in Christ. We're freed from Christ. The second thing, present ourselves to God so we can grow to be like Christ. That's the plan. Daily, present yourself. There inside of us, there's the flesh or the spirit. Self, God. We daily present ourselves to God. You remember the passage in Romans where it says, Romans, it says, I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies living and holy sacrifices to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Stop being conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you know what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. That says, offer your life to God as a living sacrifice. Now, the way that's written in the Greek in Romans 12, it's a one-time deal. It's saying you come to God and say, God, I want my life to count for you. I no longer want to be conformed to this world. I want to be transformed. But in other places of the Bible, like Romans chapter 6, he's talking about a daily, after you've made the decision, I want my life to count for Christ, he says on a daily basis, you present your life to God every day. When you wake up, you say, Lord, you know, I want my life to count for you. And today I yield myself to you so that I can bring honor and glory to you. Present ourselves to God. This is sanctification. A, whoever we yield to, that's who you're going to serve. Inside of us is the flesh. Inside of us is God. Whoever you present yourself to, that's who you're going to serve. Oswald Chambers said this. He says, I'm responsible for being dominated by the flesh because I have yielded myself to the flesh. B, if we yield to the flesh, the results will be sin. If you yield to that part of you, which is that old man, we call it the flesh, you will sin. Bible Knowledge Commentary, John Whitmer said this. He says, the Christian who yields himself to sin will commit sin and reap sorrow. If you yield to the flesh, you will die. You will die temporally. You'll be out of fellowship with your God and Savior. You will never lose your relationship with Him, but you will lose your fellowship with Him. You'll have to deal with your sin to get back in fellowship. So if you yield to the flesh, you will sin. See, if we yield to God, we will live righteously. The Holy Spirit is inside of us. If we yield to God, there will be sanctification and growth. We'll become more and more like Jesus Christ. The true freedom, listen to this, true freedom is not choosing our way. That's the flesh. But yielding to God's way. I want you to listen carefully. I got a challenge for you. A challenge to stand for Jesus Christ. I'm going to read something to you. And I want you to think about if you would say these words. I will live for Jesus Christ. I will serve God and not myself. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Christ. I will not look back. I will not let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed, my present makes sense, and my future is secure. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, or turned back. I won't give up, shut up, let go, or slow up. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I will serve Him until He comes. I pray that we'll all say that. I pray that we will present ourselves to God on a daily basis, living in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we'll become more and more like Christ and will not present to the flesh, which results in sin and loss of fellowship. May we stand for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this passage. There's so much here, Lord, and we realize that You love us more than we can imagine, and that we know that we died and rose again with Christ to a new life, and we're to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive in Christ. It's so powerful. Lord, we're to present ourselves to You. Lord, we know that whoever we yield to, that's who we're going to serve. And if we yield to the flesh, we're going to serve the flesh and their sin. And if we yield to You inside of us, there'll be righteousness and sanctification. Lord, we want to stand for You. I pray, Lord, that the people in this room, we will understand what You have for us, that we will stand for You. We will not back down. We will not compromise. We will not yield to the flesh inside of us. We will stand for You and live in such a way that we will bring glory and honor to You, that as we scatter out in this community and the spheres of influence that You put us in, Lord, that we will make an impact for You, because we know that we died and rose again with You. We consider that we're dead to sin and alive in Christ. And we're not to present ourselves to the flesh, which is sin, but to present ourselves to You, which is righteousness and life and sanctification. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.